prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
And welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and as usual on Wednesday, I'm sitting in today for Melody Cedarstrom. She decided to take some time off, and I don't blame her. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I hope you enjoy today's broadcast. As usual, bring up Wendy Wilson in just a few minutes to discuss a topic that I'm interested in hearing about. It's called bone glue. Okay, yeah, I'm serious. We'll discuss it in a minute. But like I said, Melody's going to take a few days off and enjoy some time off. She works hard. She deserves this. We'll start, as always, though, with the precious metals and the markets. And the metals are a mixed bag today. Gold was up $14.26 to 1917.28, you know, about 80 bucks from another record. Silver was up 0.06 cents at 21.74. Platinum was down $28 to 963.52. Palladium was down $47, 14.08. Now, I don't know if that's usual or normal or not, but two up and two down. That's just kind of strange, I think. The Dow took a pretty good hit, down 410 points to 31,984. S&P was down 42.75 to 39.11. NASDAQ was up 10 to 12,345. The FTSE was down 3.83%, 73.44. The DAX was down 3.27%, 14,735. Hang Seng was up 1.52% to 1,539. Nikkei was up 0.3%. to 27,229. USDX was down 104.69 to 108. It was up $1.08 to 104.69. USDX was up 108 to 104.69. 10-year yield was down a bit, 0.166 to 3.47. Oil was down 288 to 68.45. So, kind of mixed bag there, but I am thrilled to see gold and silver still climbing. And folks, we'll discuss a lot of things after the break as far as financial situations. After Wendy's going, we're going to talk about what's happening in the financial world, and I think we need to pay attention because it's not looking good. But let's go to guests now. Let's talk to Wendy Wilson with the Pock Theory Herbs. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor. I'm here, and Pastor Butch, I'm glad to be with you and all the listeners. Yes, we're going to talk about bone glue. It's an interesting little topic we have, because when it comes to adhesives, Pastor Butch, to heal your bones, scientists at the International Journal of Adhesion and Adhesives say they have a solution. So they're reporting they have actually come up with this bone glue for fractured and broken bones. And you know what? When I was reading this article, Pastor Butch, my mind was jumping to super glue, Gorilla Glue, you know, those commercials for all glue.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a look and see what bone glue is all about and how it stacks up to maybe alternative therapy that would be I guess, more organic. So what science is thinking, because I'm repeatedly, Pastor Butch, kind of amazed at some of these comments made in these scientific journal reports by physicians. Their attitude is, we will build it and the masses will want it. That's kind of the attitude. And my perspective is, hey, people want non-toxic bona fide cures. They don't want newfangled gadgets implanted in their bodies or harmful drug therapies. They want something that's a cure. However, this is not how medical science thinks, of course. So the healthcare business model really is more medical devices, more drug treatments equals more profits. Here's a quote from the journal article. They say, the need for bone adhesive is a challenge that has remained unmet. The concept of the bone glue to repair fractures and breaks, as well as to glue orthopedic devices inside the body, is considered a holy grail. End of quote. So the study is announcing the research produced just that, a bone adhesive, and the researchers clamored that their creation was non-mutagenic and non-cytotoxic. Now, a cytotoxic substance would be kind of equal to maybe a snake venom or brown recluse spider bite or chemo drugs. That's how toxic those are.
Okay,
now,
wow.
Now, these substances, you know, if you get a psychotoxic substance, those things tend to kill your cells, okay? So they are reporting their glue doesn't do that. It does not toxic, and the glue works in a wet environment inside the body. And it's a compound, they say, made of multifacetic organic minerals made into a biomaterial that bonds to bones or to metal or even your implants. So they're saying super organic, it's going to work. And they say that there's an evolution to the bone glue. And I'm like, ooh, do tell. So according to the report, the bone glue forms a sturdy bond to your living bones and over time goes through some changes. The glue is said to go through an evolution, a metamorphosis kind of thing, and also a dissolution process, which means it eventually dissolves. So therefore, they're saying there's some changes that occur to the glue, and then it dissolves. However, this process seems to also provide, according to the report, a super stable and strong bone in the end. So the report went on as far to say that the bone glue can avoid the need for bone plates and screws. You know how you've heard about that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the bone glue, they say, is said to be able to affix orthopedic and other medical devices with regarding bones. So what other medical devices? Well, it could be used in dentistry for, you know, implants, you know, because they drill that into your jawbone, you know. So you didn't know about implants, dental implants?
Yeah, I did. I'm thinking, how would that work?
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't get specifics about that, but they alluded to it to being used in a dentistry. So implants would be one of them. Well, let's just take a look in the past, because science has been actually experimenting with materials previously called bone cement. And
yes,
it was used,
yes.
It's been used to treat things like bone surgeries, like hip replacements, knee replacements, and they've been using that since 1940. So what's wrong with the bone cement? That's my question. They say these materials often caused negative tissue reactions, encouraging what is called an exothermic reaction, which means the cement reacted to temperature change, causing tissue necrosis. In other words, the tissue would just die. So the bone cement is still in use today, commonly used, but it's often paired with antibiotics to reduce infection. So knee and hip replacements and spinal compression fractures will include bone cement. What do you think?
Well, it sounds good to me.
Now, some other synthetic materials also have been used, such as your polyurethanes and even aluminum, as options for plates and screws, but inflammatory conditions often were associated with those materials. And the problem has always been for science to develop a glue that works well in wet environments and doesn't pose an infectious threat, exposing patients to death risk. Here's a quote from This is from a journal called Materials, November 2019. They say the need for new technology to allow inflatable devices providing stability without unfavorable outcomes and without the use of toxic cement is needed. So bone problems, are a reality. So science has been kind of releasing drugs, along the line, some of them injectable for bone issues. You probably heard of Fosamax and Prolia. But these have a lot of side effects for supposedly strengthening bones. And suffice it to say, the drugs often offer a significant risk to your bones, that's what the drug is supposed to do, is protect your bones and make them well, but you have a bone risk there. And this is why I say, investigate your therapies really careful. Now, if you take hormone replacement therapy, pharmaceutical meds, you're going to need to replenish your calcium and magnesium for your bones because these medications remove that from your body. So an alternative is to use some natural plants that provide a lot of nutrition to help the body make proper amounts of hormones and protect you from prescription med necessity. Now, if your diet is missing trace minerals, they're needed. Calcium, you're going to need those so you can absorb the calcium. So boron and magnesium have to be with your calcium in order for you to actually be able to put that calcium in your bone to make them strong. So if your body absorbs calcium but doesn't have the other minerals, it can't put that calcium in the right place. So bone spurs, gallstones, kidney stones, strong arterial blockages is where the calcium may go. The calcium may go there instead of bones if you don't have the other minerals. Also, your plants have silica in them, and silica is found in the earth, and it gets uptaken by your plants, and it gives strong firmness to body tissues. So your bones, your cartilage, connective tissues, your arteries, your skin, and it helps all those areas that need to be flexible stay flexible. So, for instance, the arteries near the heart need to take the pressure from the pump, the heart muscle, so they're supposed to be flexible. So, when people go get bypass surgery, Pastor Butch, and they take arteries and veins from the leg area and they'll put it up near the heart, well, those veins aren't as hardy because they're not near the heart. So those veins, those patches, if you will, for the bypass surgery is going to wear out eventually, and they may have to redo the bypass surgery in about 10 years. People aren't told that stuff, but... So if you want some herbs that are high in the silica that help all your connective tissues and your bones, beetroot's on the list, lettuce, cucumbers, carrots, broccoli, almonds, beans, alfalfa, onions. And you remember with the spas, people would put cucumbers on their eyeballs, lay there with their facials. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the silica in the plants that help the skin. Now, medical treatments that are going to kill your bones in a skinny minute, you should avoid them because over time it just wrecks your bones. Diuretics, birth control pills, heart medications, antacids, steroids, cancer drugs, chemotherapy, organ replacement drugs, arthritic drugs, diabetic drugs, and cancer thyroid medications. Now, some diseases that you'll develop due to not enough calcium are going to be kidney disease, thyroid disease, autoimmune disease, and digestive disorders. So calcium's a big deal. Body likes calcium with boron and magnesium in a 2-to-1 ratio, and you find that ratio, that chemistry, in your plants, not in animal calcium. So if you have calcium deficiency, you may experience some of the following. Muscle spasms. Now, have you ever laid in bed and had a Charlie horse, a muscle spasm?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. They're painful. And, pregnant women get those a lot because what are they doing? They're building a baby. So the baby process is taking calcium from mom to build the baby skeletal and muscular system, and then she gets a muscle spasm. So if you get muscle spasms, it's usually a lack of calcium in the muscle. Also, you can have fainting and chest pains and heart failure and numbness and tingling and peripheral neuropathy issues, wheezing, difficulty swallowing, voice changes, depression and anxiety. People who drink a lot, Pastor Butch, are flushing a lot of these minerals out of their system, and they're very high on the anxiety scale. Also, impaired learning disabilities, fatigue, seizures, hair and nail problems, psoriasis or dry skin, tooth decay, cataracts, and osteoporosis is on the list.
For calcium, so, for calcium deficiency?
Yeah.
Wow.
If it's consistent, you know. So you could be on a medication that's flushing the minerals and you're not providing enough to make up for the lack in your diet, or maybe you're a heavy drinker and you're doing the same thing. So the body needs minerals. Mineral depletion is really accountable for a lot of metabolic malfunctions. So a lot of your internal medicine disorders, there's really a mineral issue. So here's some plant-based calcium. You can put this on your food list. A lot of these plants that have calcium, they automatically have boron and magnesium with them, and the ratio God did that can't improve on it. He gets all the credit. So salmon, sardines, kale, collard greens, broccoli, mustard greens, turnip greens, bok choy, your sesame seeds. I love them roasted. Sunflower seeds, millet and oats, and then on the medicinal herb side, horsetail, comfrey root, lobelia, and oat straw, all going to have that wonderful calcium chemistry profile that we're looking for. So we're blessed by medicinal foods and plants, and Lord knows what he's doing because he created the human body. He knows what we need. So look for a lot of the foods that contain that calcium if you're low in it. And the problem people are having is they'll take an isolated calcium supplement, and it doesn't have the other uptake minerals so the body can utilize the calcium. So, and I know people say, I got to have cow's milk, and I have to have cheese. I want my kids, and I want my mom, and I want everybody to have strong bones. They don't stop and think, okay, cow's milk is to put 900 pounds, really, on a calf really fast. But what is mama cow eating? And she's got really big, strong bones. She's eating grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying go out there and mow your lawn with your face. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying plants have calcium in them, and they have the right amount of calcium. They've actually done a study, and they compared isolated calcium supplements with whole food plants that have calcium profiles in them. The body preferred the plants, and they didn't need mega doses to get the calcium into the bones. So, again, there's God in there, in his perfect creation. So, if your diet's lacking calcium, I preferably look for plant-based calcium because it has that chemistry, it's balanced. You don't have to rethink it real hard. You don't have to reinvent that wheel. So, my herbs that I go to for the calcium are going to be the horsetail, comfrey, lobelia, and oat straw. And it's a calcium that Dr. John Christopher created, and he tested it in his clinic for 60 years. I don't know too many products that have that kind of testing.
No.
Yeah. So,
especially vaccines.
Right. So actually, a broken bone takes 6 weeks to heal. Use the plant-based herbs, and you'll heal that bone in 3 weeks. That's how fast those plants help the bone remodel and repair. So you don't need bone glue. Because in order to apply the bone glue, Pastor, but you're going to need a surgeon.
That's true.
Yeah. So call us at Apothecary Herbs. We'll send you a free catalog. We're also in the middle of our spring sale that runs through the 25th. So it's 25% off. Details are online at thepowerherbs.com. Or you can just give us a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. New catalog will be in also the end of the month, but we still have our current one in stock. So we got lots going on, and spring is here, Pastor Butch.
Yes, it is. It starts Monday, and I'm all excited about that. I really do enjoy going out picking some greens, you know, in the woods. I do enjoy that. I don't remember all the ones I was taught as a little boy from Grandma, but I remember enough to go out and pick some greens, especially what we call here in the hills, ramps. They're so good.
Oh, right.
Yes,
onions,
they're everywhere
onions
around here.
Stuff, wild onions and all that?
It's a type of onion. Doesn't taste so much like an onion, but it's so good. Oh, it really is.
I heard it has a really pungent smell, though.
I like the smell. Some people don't, but I love the smell. I love the smell of cooking. I do. But now the smell doesn't bother me, but some people guess it would. But I grew up with them, so I'm used to them. And they're delicious.
Do you have like a Ramps Festival where you're at?
They have. They have several of them around here. They do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Awesome.
So
well,
it's good eating and good for you. Well, Wendy, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it. See you next week. Folks, we're back at the break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt.
All righty, folks, we are back. And again, this is Pastor Butch Paul, filling up Melody Cederstrom, and she is relaxing a couple of days. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I intend to take a few days off next month myself and try and do something different. Maybe going down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and listen to some oldies music. I don't know, do something with me and the wife and my youngest son. We're going to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to that so much. But anyway, as I said, today is the 15th of March. Hard to believe that. We're halfway through the month already. But let's get started in some news. We're going to start with, it's financial news, but it has nothing to do so much with the banks. This has something to do that is so ridiculous, it's hard to believe, but y'all have heard about this. Associated Press deflects criticism of San Francisco's $5 million reparations. Yeah. Associated Press appeared to defend San Francisco's proposal to grant $5 million reparations to each long-term black resident of the city on Wednesday, pushing back against residents who dared question the idea. The AP report described the public meeting at which the San Francisco Board of Service Supervisors voted unanimously to support the plan in principle without yet committing the funding or approving specific policy proposals. It is unclear how a city which faces $728 million budget deficit and the near collapse of its downtown economy will afford reparations, nor is it clear why San Francisco, which never endured slavery, must pay. But the AP was certain that residents who told the Board of Supervisors that they opposed the plan were wrong and must have been unaware of the history of racism, the legacy of slavery, and the need to pay reparations. Payments of $5 million to every eligible black adult, elimination of personal debt and tax burdens, let me repeat that, elimination of personal debt and tax burdens, guaranteed annual incomes of at least $97,000 for 250 years in homes in San Francisco for just $1 a family. Homes for $1 a family. There were some of the more than 100 recommendations made by the city appointing reparations committee, tasked with the thorny question of how to atone for centuries of slavery and systematic racism. And the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, hearing the report for the first time Tuesday, voiced enthusiastic support for the ideas listed, with some saying money should not stop the city from doing the right thing. My insanity, this nation just keeps on just overwhelming me with the stupidity is unbelievable. Gee. Another article on wasted money. This is on a lady named Joni Ernst. Highlights government waste. Pigs playing video games. Touchpads for dolphins. Now, this is for real. Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, on Tuesday unveiled the latest examples of egregious government spending and waste, which include taxpayer dollars used to train pigs to play video games, provide dolphins with an underwater touchpad with dolphin-friendly apps, and establish a comedy center in New York. President Joe Biden is a recipient of Ernst's monthly Squeal Award, which he uses to highlight some of the most egregious instances of government waste. Unexplainable expenditures like these really bug taxpayers, yet they keep popping up because no one really knows where the trillions of dollars are being doled out every day, every year by Washington are actually going. Ernst said, deeming it entirely intentional. Biden's budgeting is a lot like whack-a-mole. He keeps digging the country deeper in the hole while doing everything he can, including ignoring the law, to hide Washington's way so it doesn't get whacked. The first dubbed Swinecraft, it's called Swinecraft, focus on pigs playing video games. The program quite literally involves having pigs engage in a joystick-operated video game task. It concluded that all pigs were significantly above chance on first attempts to contact one-walled targets. These results indicate that despite dexterity and visual constraints, pigs have the capacity to acquire a joystick-operated video task. It found, including that further studies may help determine if pigs and other domestic species could benefit from advanced computer interface technology. No, I'm not making this up. This is what's going on with your money. My money. So we have to stop thinking about these things, folks, that maybe, perhaps, we're the suckers here. What do you think? Now, if you live in San Francisco and you're going to tolerate that $5 million reparation thing, well, I would look for a new board of supervisors. I really would. I would. And talking about California, commuters abandon L.A. Metro as drug users take over. This is the signs of a decaying society and a third world nation getting further and further into depravity. Commuters have abandoned the Los Angeles Metro light rail system as drug users take over, many of them smoking fentanyl aboard the train, according to a shock report Tuesday in the Los Angeles Times. The Times report portrays a transit system that was once the pride and hope of the city, now in the grip of crime, drugs, and human filth. And while the city's leaders talk about the Green New Deal and moving millions of motorists from their cars to public transportation, the reality of the Drent Metro tells a different story. The Times' Rachel Uranga wrote in L.A. riders bail on Metro trains in amid horror of deadly drug overdose crime. Drug use is rampant in the Metro system. Since January, 22 people have died on the Metro buses and trains, mostly from suspected overdoses, more people than all the 2022 combined. Serious crime soared 24% last year compared with the previous. So obviously, folks, this isn't looking good. The Los Angeles County Department of Public Health reported deaths linked to fentanyl rose from 109 in 2016 to 1,504 in 2021, amounting to a 1,200% increase. First responders now often carry Narcan and opiate reversal and they need it on the Metro. This is a nation that's going under, folks. There's no point in kidding ourselves and putting on rose-colored glasses, so to speak, and thinking, oh, everything's going to turn around. It ain't. And I want to make another point to prove this. We haven't even got to the financial stuff yet that's very serious, but we're talking about financial things here that are probably equally as serious when you see that this is planned to take us down financially. And it's working. It's working very well. They've been building on for many, many, many years. But they're finally getting it down to the final few pieces to put it together. Black Lives Matter movement received $83 billion from corporations. $83 billion, that's with a B. The Black Lives Matter movement and related causes received an astonishing $82.9 billion from corporations, a new funding database from the Claremont Institute has found. The Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life explained the necessity of the report in an article published in Newsweek, where the center asserted that the 2020 BLM movement was about more than just rioting and destruction. The center explained that the BLM pressure campaigns, harassment, and moral blackmail also amounted to possibly the most lucrative shakedown of corporate America's in its history. As a point of reference, $82.9 billion is more than the GDP of 46 African countries. In 2022, the Ford Motor Company's profits were $23 billion, they also noted. The sum of $82.9 million includes more than $123 million, the sum of $82.9 billion includes more than $123 million to the BLM parent organizations directly, as well as much more to other organizations supporting BLM's agenda. Well, there you go. I mean, why not? I mean, why not? I mean, if you want to, I guess if you want to raise money, just raise all kinds of heck with it. And they help you, maybe support doing your job. I don't know what you want to do. But this is the absolute absurdity, folks, that takes over a nation that becomes totally immoral. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 20:28, they just smite them with madness. This is insanity. It truly is. And people that have any common sense at all see this. But when you have city boards like in San Francisco voting to give $5 million away to any black whose ancestors may have been a slave for a few years in America, this is really, that's insanity. It truly is. But anyway, we'll move on. This next article is just a tad bit lengthy, but I want to read it from Peter Schiff because I think it's really important. Peter Schiff, the latest bank bailout is another nail in capitalism's coffin. Let me repeat that. The latest bank bailout is another nail in capitalism's coffin. On June 14, 2022, Peter Schiff appeared on Ingram Angle, and he said, thanks to the Federal Reserve, everybody has so much debt that we can't afford to pay an interest rate high enough to fight inflation. But it is going to be high enough to cause a massive recession and other financial crisis that's worse than the one we had in 2008. In the wake of the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government came to the rescue, quickly putting together a bailout that includes a promise to protect all the bank's depositors, along with a Fed program that will offer loans up to 1 year in length to bank pledging U.S. treasuries, agency debt and mortgage-backed securities, and other qualifying assets as collateral. Banks will be able to borrow against their assets at par or face value. Ingraham stated the interview by referencing Citadel founder Ken Griffin, who said the rescue package shows American capitalism is breaking down before our eyes. Peter responded that American capitalism broke down a long time ago, and the latest bailout effort is just another nail in the coffin. The reason we are now having another financial crisis, would already be a lot worse if we hadn't made the mistake of backstopping all these insolvent banks. But the reason they got insolvent was because of the government. The Federal Reserve kept the interest rates at zero for 12 years. There was quantitative easing. And during that time, banks and pretty much everyone else loaded up on low-yielding debt. But in order to keep interest rates that low, the Federal Reserve had to create massive inflation. The Federal Reserve had to create massive inflation. They called it quantitative easing, and the adverse consequences really started to show up last year when we had these big elevated increases in CPI. With price inflation becoming such a burden to Americans, the Fed was forced to raise interest rates to fight inflation. That pricked the bubble it had inflated. Now, all these institutions are insolvent at higher interest rates. Repeat that, folks. It's important. All these institutions are insolvent at higher interest rates. In other words, they're going to pay more to get caught up and get out of debt. We have a bigger debt crisis now than the one we had in 2008, which was also caused by artificially low interest rates that followed the bursting of the NASDAQ bubble when the Fed kept interest rates at 1%. That inflated the housing bubble, but this time 0% inflated a much bigger bubble, which is why we are now having a much bigger financial crisis. Peter emphasized that none of this would have happened if we had stayed with a free market. Amen. A free market would have purged the economy from all these excesses a long time ago. And instead of having a bubble, we would have a genuine recovery with real prosperity instead of the phony prosperity that we've enjoyed. And now the chickens have come home to roost. Very well written, folks. Very well written. A free market would have corrected itself. We haven't had a free market in this country since before I was born. Much better back then, I'm sure, but not really a free market. We started on socialism and communist trail many, many, many years, over 100 years ago. Right at 100 years ago, we started down that trail, and here we are today with fiat currency, trillions in debt, and that's probably an understatement, and American people who seem to have a hard time keeping food on the table. Wow. Treasury yields collapse after First Republic downgrades to junk. Now, folks, this is really getting serious. The banks are going to continue to collapse. It may not happen, you know, like dominoes, click, 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 but it's going to happen. If the systemic risk hangover from Credit Suisse wasn't enough of a drag on U.S. banking stocks, the news that S&P just downgraded the First Republic Bank to junk has accelerated the global de-risking. S&P cut First Republic Bank long-term issuer credit rating to BB+ from A-, saying it thinks outflow risk remained elevated in the wake of the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, despite regulatory help and the bank actively increasing its borrowing availability. We expect increased wholesale borrowing to further weigh on its net interest margin. We believe that First Republic's deposit base is more concentrated than the most large U.S. regional banks, which presents heightened funding risk in the current environment. First Republic stock is down 20% in the pre-market. Wow. So they were down to their rating as junk. Junk rating. And I don't want to tell you, this is what's happening as you and I sit here talking today. You know, this is what's happening in America. It does affect you and I, but it affects our children and grandchildren also. Here's a fact box. Top five U.S. regional banks with most uninsured deposits. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just give you some ideas here. But the collapse of two major U.S. banks within days has put the spotlight on other mid-cap lenders' balance sheets, with a few of them rushing to calm investors' fears of contagion in the broader financial system. Here are five regional lenders in the U.S. with the biggest chunk of uninsured deposits. First Republic Bank, we just read about it. Uninsured deposits, $119.5 billion. Their stock plunged 33.5% this past Friday. Commercial Bank, uninsured deposits, $45.5 billion. Their stock dropped since Friday, 16.1%. Zions Bank, uninsured deposits, $37.6 billion. Their stock closed last Friday, down 20.3%. And Synovus Bank, uninsured deposits, $25.1 billion, and their stock was down 17%. That's a chunk of banks, folks, that are losing money on the stock market, which means in the long run, it's going to put them down, I guess you'd say, into more junk status, and who knows what's going to go from there. Only time will tell, but it's not looking like there's going to be much of a turnaround anytime in the near future. After the break, we're going to discuss some more things going on with the Swiss chairs and other things that we need to think about, folks. If you're going to do precious metals, don't hesitate. Play them platinum or down, gold and silver up. Get what you can while you can, whether it's $100 worth or $10,000 worth. Get what you can, because no matter what happens, gold and silver never goes to zero. Ever. When paper is worth nothing, you'll have something of value in your hand. But you can call Melody up at 800-375-4188 and try to protect yourself as best as possible. Even get some storable food and maybe a water filter or so where you can survive if necessary. 800-375-4188. I promise you, folks, there's coming a time when you're going to see gold. Right now, it's getting close to another record. But it's going to go up in the, way up in the thousands. I don't think it's very far away. I really don't. But we're being shoved into the digital currency business every day. And fear is what motivates people to take that digital currency. Back at the break, folks, don't go away.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, babe, don't say babe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks. Again, we're back. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm filling the day from Ellie Seastrom. Her number is 800-375-4188. And if at all possible, please call and get yourself as much as possible protected of what's coming down. Folks, I'll make this comment and we'll move on to some other news here and more financial news. This is not happening by accident. No, the bank collapse and the SVB, you know, that was not an accident. This was known about before. Obviously, sometime before, because the people that had the most stock sold the stock, which they say now they're going to might prosecute them for. I doubt it. It'd be nice if they did. But this has been planned. Please keep in mind that Klaus Schwab said that by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. And they want the digital monies to run the world. And if people lose money in the bank, they'll be tickled pink if Uncle Sam says, listen, we're going to give you a digital account, and here's your card. How many people today use cards already don't think anything about it? They don't even handle cash. They use a debit card all the time. Never handle cash. Everything from a loaf of bread to a tank of gas. No big deal. They've conditioned us in this direction for many, many, many years, longer than I've been alive. We started up credit cards and then went and checks. Even checks, folks, were convenient because you didn't pay cash. We let it happen because of our ignorance or apathy or both. But we let it happen. Credit Suisse shares tank over 30% after Saudi backer rules out further assistance. So Saudi Swiss shares tank 30% after Saudi backer rules out further assistance. Shares of Credit Suisse on Wednesday plunged to a fresh all-time low for the second consecutive day after a top investor in the battle of Swiss bank said it would not be able to provide any more cash due to regulatory restrictions. Trading in the bank's plummeting stock was halted several times throughout the morning as it fell below two Swiss francs, or $2.17, for the first time. Credit Suisse has seen trading 24% lower at 4:45 p.m. London time, 9:45 Eastern time, powering some of its earlier losses after dropping more than 30% at one point. The share price rout renewed a broader sell-off among European lenders, which are already facing significant market turmoil as a result of the Silicon Valley Bank bit fallout. Several Italian banks on Wednesday were also subject to automatic trading stoppages, including Unis Credit, Finco Bank, and Monte del Paschi. Credit Suisse's larger investor, Saudi National Bank, said it could not provide the Swiss bank with any further financial assistance, according to a Reuters report sparking the latest leg over. Folks, again, we say this. The economic system of the world is connected. What happened in California affected Switzerland. It's affecting Italy. It's affecting Europe. These things are interconnected, and there's no way around it. There's nothing that we can do to get it back. It's done. Markets price in central bank panic as Credit Suisse default risk soars. ECB contacts lenders. Worsening sentiment got even worser. That's what the word says, folks. Worsening sentiment got even worser after the Wall Street Journal reports citing unidentified people familiar with the matter. ECB officials contacted lenders and its supervisors Wednesday to ask about financial exposures to Credit Suisse AG. If regulators do not handle the Credit Suisse situation well, this will send shockwaves through the whole sector, said Jost Boma, head of the bank research at Dutch lender ABN AMRO. To make matters worse, both sides of the Atlantic have banking issues. There you go. Both sides of the Atlantic have had fiat currencies for years. Matter of fact, the world basically has had fiat currency for years. The game of, I guess, as they call it, whack-a-mole, we keep hoping we knock everything back in and come up somewhere else where we can do better next time around with the fiat currencies. We tie something here to it there, something there, and now they're trying to quit buying their debt, and Saudi Arabia wants to do it for the petrodollar. We have no way to go but up in inflation. That's obvious to it. U.S. consumer spending declined in February after a hot start to the year. Retail sales fell 0.4% last month as Americans spent less at auto dealers and restaurants. And to me, the answer for that simple. I can't afford to. I can't afford to buy a car now. I can't afford to eat out very much. And I don't think anybody we'll say of average earnings can do it either. I can't imagine making a $500 to $1,000 car payment now. I really can't even imagine that. Well, I couldn't if I wanted to. As inflation climbs in the U.S., rising food and energy costs have pushed the nation's most popular price index to its highest level in four decades. WSJ's Gwen Gulford explains how the Consumer Price Index works and what it can tell you about inflation. Retail sales declined in February as consumers pulled back after a strong start into the year amid high interest rates and inflation. Spending at stores, online, and in restaurants fell by a seasonally adjusted 0.4% in February, the Commerce Department said Wednesday. January sales were revised up to a 3.2% gain. Retail sales figures aren't adjusted for inflation. Consumers spent less at restaurants, also auto dealerships, and department stores, and more on essentials like groceries and at health stores. Excluding often volatile auto sales, overall purchase decreased 0.1% in February. A pullback in consumer spending is sustained will be a concern for the broader economy because household purchases represent 70% of total economic output in the U.S. Let me repeat that, folks. A pullback in consumer spending, if sustained, will be a concern for the broader economy because household purchases represent 70% of total economic output for the U.S. And if you're having a hard time paying your bills, you have to cut back. That's all you can do. And that's going to mean that somebody on the other end is going to be hurting also. Because, I mean, if you're not buying the goods they're trying to sell, then they're not making a profit either, which means they can't do more with their businesses. They can't even get pay increases to helpers. So it's a vicious circle. And to show that some people may have more sense than Americans in some ways, Nigerians' rejection of their CBDC is a cautionary tale for other countries. Nigerians are protesting the African country's digital currency and demanding renewed access to paper money despite government incentives. Now, I'll make a comment here. Paper money, folks, is still fiat. But it offers much more privacy than digital currencies. That will be the last chance we have in doing anything private financially if we don't keep the cash. Even though it's just paper, at least it's private. In Nigeria, citizens have taken to the streets to protest the nation's cash shortage, further objecting to the government and implementation of a central bank digital currency. The shortage came about due to cash restrictions aimed at pushing the country into a 100% cashless economy. Yet instead of adopting the CBDC, Nigerian protesters are demanding paper money be restored. Now, I'm going to make that point again. The shortage came about due to cash restrictions aimed at pushing the country into a 100% cashless economy. Don't you think that'll work here where the banks fail? Can't get your money out, but we'll bail you out. Here, take this card, and we're going to put a digit on there, and there you go. The country's experience strongly suggests the average citizen understands that CBDC's present a sustainable risk to financial freedom while providing no unique benefit. Now, Nigerians understand that this is going to be a total risk to financial freedom, with no real benefit behind it. It is no secret that CBDCs have been growing in popularity among central bankers, policymakers, and consultancy firms in recent years. Yet for citizens, it's been another story. When the U.S. Federal Reserve solicited comments on CBDCs, more than two-thirds of the comments were concerned about the risk to financial privacy, financial freedom, and the stability of the banking system. Thank God people are seeing this. Although I'm kind of shocked, to tell you the truth, because how many people, like I said, go out and use debit cards, credit cards all the time and never had no cash? If you use a debit card or credit card, everything you buy is on record. And you can't do private transactions. I mean, really, how did your neighbor take your credit card or debit card? Let's have a business there. You can't buy food off of them if you want to store it. You can't buy a gun off of them. You can't do anything privately because it's all done digitally. And everything's recorded. Wow. Different topic, but a serious issue nonetheless. Putin says Russia is in a fight for the existence of the state. Putin has framed Moscow's year-long invasion as a defensive pushback against what he sees as a hostile West bent on expanding into Russian territories. And folks, I can't say he's lying here. NATO is a a West-backed way to get closer to Russia. But how many of y'all know that Mexico has applied to join the BRICS nations? Oh, yeah, Mexico applied. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and I forget what the S is. But Mexico has asked to join the BRICS nations. So, see, we have the NATO nations around Russia. They have BRICS nations at us. And I think even Canada is flirting with that idea. But anyway, Russian troops keep coming in waves along the front line in eastern Ukraine, Ukrainian soldiers said on Tuesday, as President Vladimir Putin reaffirmed his view that Russia's very existence as a state was at stake in this war. In the eastern Donbass region, Russia and Ukraine are locked in the bloodiest infantry battle in Europe since World War II. After Moscow launched a winter offensive with hundreds of thousands of freshly called up reservists and mercenaries, Putin has framed Moscow's year-long invasion as a defensive pushback against what he sees as a hostile West bent on expanding in territories historically ruled by Russia. So for us, this is not a geopolitical task, but a task of the survival of Russian statehood, creating conditions for the future development of a country, of the country and our children, he said during a visit to an aviation factory in Buryatia, some of the 40 east of Moscow. Putin accuses the West of using Ukraine as a tool to inflict strategic defeat on Russia. Kiev and its Western allies say Moscow is waging an unprovoked war of imperial conquest that has destroyed Ukraine's cities, killed thousands of people, and forced millions more to flee their homes. That last sentence is a real shame of war. The powers of being the men that want war are almost always for their own greed, their own control. I would say always. Every war that's been fought in history has been fought for somebody's greed and somebody wants control. Every one of them. Every one of them. And so the people that are paying for it, though, are the citizens of Ukraine. By the tens of thousands that are dying and lost their homes, they're the people who pay for it. Not those that declared the war. Putin is not out somewhere living in a tent somewhere, and neither is Zelensky. They're doing quite well, I'm sure. Eating well, doing quite well. But the people are the ones who pay. And they're the ones who have to finance a war that's destroying them. A Republican civil war when Ukraine erupts as Reagan examples fade. When Ronald Reagan addressed a brand new organization of upstart conservatives nearly five decades ago, he cast U.S. entanglements abroad as part of the nation's destiny to take on leadership of the free world and serve as a shining city on the hill that inspired other countries, sparking thunderous applause. I remember that, folks. I voted for Reagan. I did. At a dinner named after the former president at the annual Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, gathering earlier this month, failed Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake pushed a very different message to the party's activists. We're living on a planet crazy where we have hundreds of billions of dollars of our hard-earned American money being sent overseas to start World War III, Lake said in her keynote address, inflating the American U.S., the amount of U.S. aid that's been sent to Ukraine since Russian invasion. This is not our fight. We are America first. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care much for Carrie Lake. If you know the background of her like I do, you will not like Carrie Lake either. But nonetheless, you made a good point here. This isn't our fight. What are we doing there? Why are we there? China, Russia, Iran send warships for joint naval exercises in Gulf of Oman. Oh, man. Warships from China, Iran, and Russia joined together Wednesday to begin naval drills in the Gulf of Oman and near the strategic Strait of Hormuz, China's defense ministry announced. AP reports other countries will also provide naval support in the security bomb 2023 exercise, the ministry said without elaborating. Iran, Pakistan, Oman, the Emirates, all coastline along the water lying at the mouth of the Persian Gulf. Folks, they're building up something there. And if they cut off the flow of oil through the Straits of Hormuz, wow, it's not going to be pretty. And we're not done for the day. I'll be back with you Friday, Lord willing, to discuss some more things with you. And I know Dave will be with you tomorrow. But I don't want to tell you, folks, except the world is shaping up for something that isn't going to be very pleasant at all. And I would suggest that you be wise. Try to think things through. And reason that don't panic. Don't be afraid. Just prepare yourself for you and your family's sake, because all this has come together at a very rapid pace. I'll see you Friday, of course. Dave will be here tomorrow. Y'all have a great night.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.